This morning, the fraught $4 billion merger between the Sinclair Broadcast Group and Tribune Media came to a dramatic end when Tribune pulled out of the deal and announced it is suing Sinclair for breach of contract. Sinclair owns nearly 200 local TV stations across the country, and it would have swelled to reach even more markets if the deal had gone through, creating a conservative TV giant that would rival Fox News.
We want to spend a few minutes on this and other stories media with NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik, who joins us here in the studio. David, we know this is a huge business story, but remind us more of why it's a big deal to you, media correspondent.
Well, it's a $3.9 billion deal. It represents an extraordinary proposed consolidation of local TV beyond what it already was. Sinclair already owns controls about 190 stations, would have added 40 more, although they would have sold some of them.
And we've talked about this. Sinclair is a station that actually is requiring some of its anchors to have partisan thoughts on the air. It's an interesting conservative outlet.
Well, what they've been doing is essentially kind of building a conservative national network from the local stations up rather than in reverse. And so they really have, although some of their stations do good local coverage, they really do have a ton of content that is mandated that their news stations carry that is not only conservative, but explicitly pro President Trump in many ways. And the it's a publicly traded company, Sinclair, but the four Smith brothers who control the company effectively are quite conservative and have made that known in a variety of ways.
Yeah, and so the head of the FCC, Ajit Pai, is under investigation for his ties to Sinclair. So remind people who haven't been following this, how much of that factored into the FCC's decision before Tribune pulled out to slow this merger down?
Well, this is the crazy thing, right? So Tribune this morning announces it's pulling out of this deal and said that Sinclair had acted too aggressively and basically offended Ajit Pai, who said that there were really some efforts of this to apparently sell some of the stations in order to comply with certain regulations to companies that seem still to be under the influence and control of Sinclair itself, despite federal rules prohibiting that. Mm-hmm. Ajit Pai had greased the skids, it appears, to ensure that this deal could go through by sweeping away rules or putting, I should actually say, back in place certain rules that were, archaic to the point of just trying to get Sinclair under the wire. And so that is what the inspector general did, was to say, was he arranging things with a lobbyist who used to work at the FCC, who was working on Sinclair's behalf early in the Trump administration to make sure this deal would happen? Ajit Pai turning around while under investigation for that very question and saying, this deal is too much for me. I can't do it. Even though President Trump himself, and I think it was late July, tweeted out how sorry he was this deal appeared to be getting slowed down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, David, how do Rupert Murdoch and people at Fox News feel about this deal collapsing today?
There are some people who say Rupert Murdoch, be sorry about it. He was going to pick up a half dozen or so stations from Sinclair as part of the deal, them shedding assets. But in reality, you could look at this as the media scholar Nikki Usher and others have argued as kind of an internal intramural fight in conservative media. You saw Christopher Ruddy, a friend of the president's, the head of Newsmax, a conservative outlet, very opposed to this deal. Rupert Murdoch quietly behind the scenes been lobbying Trump against it as well. The FCC is supposed to be independent, but it seems as though it's been bending a little bit this way and that to try to fall in sync with where some of the president's key backers might find themselves.
We want to talk about some other stories, but just briefly, what reason is Tribune giving for suing Sinclair now?
It's saying it's a breach of contract, that Sinclair was supposed to make sure that this deal moved ahead smoothly, but that it's overly aggressive moves. It's flouting the directives of the FCC. It's trying to do side deals with entities that it, one way or another, might still have control of, such egregious actions the FCC was compelled to put the brakes on rather than to the accelerator, and that for it derailed the deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will continue to follow this story. David, we also want to ask you about Alex Jones. We've been talking about him all week. This is the man behind InfoWars, this website that peddles in far-right conspiracy theories. Google, Facebook, Apple, they all removed Jones' videos and podcasts from their sites. But now the InfoWars app is trending. People are finding a way to get their Alex Jones fix on those very same platforms, which I guess means Alex Jones is still able to get his message out.
Well, I mean, the funny thing is that, you know, Alex Jones has said that he's being censored by the giants of Silicon Valley working in concert in sort of a monopolistic fashion. Of course, when I wanted to find out his reaction to some of these major social media platforms banning some of his main accounts, I did so by Googling to find his Facebook account, where he had posted a streaming video he had on Periscope, which is owned by Twitter. It's his Twitter account. So, you know, he's using social media and online ways of getting to people. Apple has judged that his app does not violate their terms of service. So he's able to get his message out. This is a guy who's, casting himself as a First Amendment martyr. Interestingly, in talking to First Amendment scholars and people active on this issue, they say, look, these private companies, as giant as they may be, have certain First Amendment rights too. But there are questions when they are so pervasive in our conversation about the role they play in refereeing or not refereeing the conversation. What it seems now is that a lot of decisions are being made ad hoc on the fly rather than being clear and consistent.
Well, and to remind people that Alex Jones is the one who's behind the theories that the mass shootings are fakes, that people are actors.
That's right. At Sandy Hook, the elementary school in Connecticut, that was faked by the families that are survivors. A terrible thing to argue. He claimed that the Bush administration was somehow involved in an inside job to help arrange for 9/11. A terrible slander.
That Hillary Clinton had children in a pedophile ring in the basement of a pizza place and a guy with a gun
went to
free
entertained them. And promoted those theories in just wild-eyed ways that are not responsible, and platforms have a right to decide what they are willing to put on them.
But, you know, it's like whack-a-mole. So the InfoWars app, as Jeremy mentioned, this is in the Apple Store. It was the 47th most popular in the news category before these bans. Now it's the third most downloaded news app. And I've listened to Alex Jones. I have for decades. He's also driving people to his website, telling them, please buy all my...
Buy my merchandise, right?
You know, support me. And they are. I suppose, you know, that's the American way. I mean, if he, you know, if people want to entertain him elsewhere or what? You've got a look. I mean, wouldn't you rather have some way of hearing him to know what Americans are listening to than have it be the way Alex Jones used to be, which is that a lot of people didn't know he was there?
These are the arguments that officials at YouTube and Facebook, including Mark Zuckerberg and at other sites, have often used. I mean, Zuckerberg, you know, a few weeks ago was arguing that he wanted to make sure Holocaust deniers, you know, had a place on his platform for
everybody
people
gets
to banter
to be wrong.
Back and forth. Everybody gets to be wrong.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's vacillating back and forth. Is he a utility where people get to post things more analogous to telephone company, or is he a publisher where he is exercising some discretion? You know, Facebook decided to exercise some discretion here, and they don't have clarity on how they're making these decisions, even if people may cheer the decision in this case. You know, you've seen Jonathan Last in the Conservative Weekly Standard saying, yes, they should be doing this to Alex Jones, even though a lot of conservatives are kind of rallying to his cause, but he's saying they should be going after a lot of other people too.
Mm.
David, okay. One more story we want to get to here with you, and that is Fox News host Laura Ingraham, who stoked some more controversy last night for bemoaning the impact of immigration.
In some parts of the country, it does seem like the America that we know and love doesn't exist anymore. Massive demographic changes have been foisted upon the American people, and they're changes that none of us ever voted for and most of us don't like. From Virginia to California, we see stark examples of how radically, in some ways, the country has changed. Now, much of this is related to both illegal and, in some cases, legal immigration that, of course, progressives love.
Now, David, this is a well-known, you know, conservative commentator on Fox News, got her own show now. But was there something different about this? It's getting a lot of attention today.
You know, there's a line in her commentary where she says it's not about race or ethnicity. It's very hard to listen to what she had to say in that commentary and not come away thinking that that's exactly what it's about. She talked about these stark demographic changes that's changing America in ways that we don't recognize. That's a slight paraphrase of what she said. And, you know, the real question is, who's the we she's talking about? You know, America has been built on waves of immigration, and, you know, her ultimate boss was born in Australia and immigrated to this country, Rupert Murdoch. This is a country where, you know, that's been accepted and people pay lip service to that or else take a very extreme position, which she has. what I think is notable is that people are saying, you know, there's a veneer that has been lifted off in this case, and it's coming very close to stoking certain kinds of explicit racial tensions.
You could take her words, and I wish I had done this, and put in Italian or Irish. You could probably take the exact statement that she made and hear it from 50, 60, 70 years ago about another immigrant population that came to this country. I know you wanted to mention something you've seen in New York, Jeremy.
Well, I was just walking down the street this morning, David, in Manhattan, and saw a city bus drive by with a Fox News ad on the side that said, "Real news, real honest opinion," with the pictures of all of the stars, Hannity, Tucker, Laura Ingraham. I just thought that was interesting. Real honest opinion.
And I want to mention that later in the program today, worth noting, we're going to be hearing from a woman whose son was killed by an undocumented immigrant driving drunk. And he had been in court several times and released. And so she has a legitimate question about that. Listen, we'll take all of this up again. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik, soon to be co-host of WBUR's On Point with Meghna Chakrabarty. Can't wait for that. David, thank you.
You bet.